So we have the kings. We have Saul, David, then who? Solomon. Solomon, after him, was Rehoboam. When Rehoboam was first king, Israel split off from him with Jeroboam, son of Nebat. If you go looking at Judah, though, Rehoboam, he had his favorite wife, Maacah, and with him, with her, they had a son, Abijah, who was his favorite son, who he wanted to take over to be the next king. And so when Rehoboam died, Abijah was the next king. And Abijah and Rehoboam, they followed Solomon towards the end of his time and did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord. But after Abijam died, there was a man named Asa. And so that's where we're going to be tonight, King Asa. And during all this time, we see basically Jeroboam was still king through all these people. And then we're going to pick up with the kings of Judah next week, or kings of Israel next week. So we're in kings of Judah right now. We're going to look at King Abijah, or King Asa. All right, so let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. And so we'll read through this. We've got about three chapters we want to go through tonight talking about Asa. Asa's talked about also in the book of Kings, but there was a lot more given in Chronicles than there was in Kings on King Asa. And all the stuff in 1 Kings, it was covered here in 2 Chronicles. So we're just going to look at the 2 Chronicles ones where we're talking about Asa. So in chapter 14, verse 1, this is Solomon's great-grandson. So Abijah slept with his fathers, and they buried him in the city of David, and Asa, his son, reigned in his stead. In his days, the land was quiet 10 years. And we're going to see that Asa had a huge reign, 41 years. The third longest, I think, of any king. So a lot of times, I mean, some of these kings, God cuts off pretty quick. Okay, but Asa, he allowed to go. And his first 10 years, the land was quiet. And Asa did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. So those are great words to see about King Asa from the very beginning. He did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God, even though his father did not, his grandfather did not, and Solomon, his great-grandfather, towards the end, turned. His wives turned his heart. This is the first king since then that we see did good and right in the eyes of God. For he took away the altars of the strange gods and the high places and break down the images and cut down the groves. In 1 Kings, we also read that he took the Sodomites out of the land. So he started to see what God wanted and started to do these things. Taking away the altars, the high places, broke down the images, cut down the groves. He commanded Judah to seek the Lord God of their fathers and to do the law and the commandment. And he took away out of all the cities of Judah the high places and the images, and the kingdom was quiet before him. So while he was doing this, God gave them rest from all their wars as well. So the first 10 years there was peace. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And during these 10 years then of peace, we're going to see he has more years of peace also, but during these 10 years he built fenced cities in Judah, for the land had rest. And he had no war in those years because the Lord had given him rest. Therefore he said unto Judah, let us build these cities and make about them walls and towers, gates and bars, while the land is yet before us, because we have sought the Lord our God. We have sought him, and he hath given us rest on every side. So they built and prospered. Now we look at what Jesus said about rest, right? Come all to me that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you seek Jesus Christ, he gives you rest. Here it says, they sought him. They sought the Lord, and that's why God gave them rest from all this wars and fighting. And Asa had an army of men that bare targets and spears out of Judah 300,000, and out of Benjamin that bare shields and drew bows 280,000. All these were mighty men of valor. So he had about 300 plus 280, so he had 580,000 men. Quite a few. But we see in verse 9, there came out against them Zerah, the Ethiopian, with a host of 1,000,000. That's a million. So he had about double the amount of troops and 300 chariots and came unto Marishah. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Marishah. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God. So instead of crying to his troops and giving them a rally and speaking with that kind of wisdom, he cried to God and said, Lord, it's nothing with thee to help whether with many or with them that have no power. So he said, God, it doesn't matter if there's a million or if there's two, we can do nothing without you. O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. So, I mean, we see he did what was just good and right, and when he faces a troops twice as many, he just prays and said, Lord, this is nothing for you to do. This man had faith. And we're going to see that his grandmother, Maacah, who was Rehoboam's favorite wife, that he built those Ashtaroths and had these specific poles and groves. I mean, she had kind of led, it looks like, because she's a big deal in this story as well, this family down this road of worshiping false gods. But somehow Asa, through the grace of God, he knew his God and he worshiped God and he trusted God. And this is how he was supposed to act when he goes up against the battle. This is how we should act when we see we're faced with anything, right? It's God that fights for us. The Lord says, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. In Exodus. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. That simple. God can just smite them. So the Lord smote them, and Asa and the people that were with him pursued them unto Gerar, and the Ethiopians were overthrown, that they could not recover themselves, for they were destroyed before the Lord and before his host, and they carried away very much spoil. And they smote all the cities round about Gerar, for the fear of the Lord came upon them, and they spoiled all the cities, for there was exceeding much spoil in them. So basically, the fear of the Lord came on these other cities. They fled, so you got just the cities wide open. Just come in, take the stuff. God gave that to them. They smote also the tents of cattle and carried away sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, a prophet. And he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, Hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Same thing Jesus said, come unto me, you know, knock, seek, the door will be opened. God, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's always had the same message, if we seek him. That's what he says, if ye seek him, he will be found of you, but if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long season, Israel has been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. They've been since Solomon's last days without the true God, without following after God, without the law, without a priest, a teaching priest, it says. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them. And in those times there was no peace to them that went up. So even to his father and his grandfather, remember they had times where they stood up and they said the right thing. And they did the right thing. And when they sought him, even for that little bit, God was there faithful to help his father and grandfather, Abijah and Rehoboam. But nevertheless, they could seek him and he'd help him, but because they didn't, when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord, he was found of them. But in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexations were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, for God did vex them with all adversity. Be ye strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded. So he encouraged Asa that you did right, you did great. And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin, and out of the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin, and the strangers with them out of Ephraim, and Manasseh, and out of Simeon. For they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with them. So now these people that are in Israel, the northern kingdom, when they see this great battle, this great victory, 580,000 men defeat a million men. There doesn't sound like any of these Israelites were even lost. God just smote them. They're thinking, that's what used to happen in the good old days. You know, back when they were in the wilderness, when Joshua was commanding, when they came across the River Jordan and came into the promised land. But they'd fallen away from God. Now they're getting beat and there's war on all sides. It's just trouble. So people from the northern kingdom started coming down to the southern kingdom. People from Ephraim, Manasseh, and out of Simeon. Because they saw the Lord, his God, was with him. So there were still faithful people in Israel, in the northern kingdom. And they came down to the southern kingdom. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa. And they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death. whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, with trumpets, and with cornets. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. So that's, as a nation, that's what we want, isn't it? If we would all as a nation seek the Lord, he would give us rest round about. It's been a long time since we've had rest. You know, having rest is from the Lord. And we see that right here in how he deals with nations. We're not his chosen nation. But as a country, as a family, as an individual, if we're seeking the Lord, he can give us rest. So he gave them rest round about. Now we're going to hear more about Maacah. And this would be Asa's grandmother. She's the one that was Rehoboam's favorite wife. That got him to, he built her groves, or Ashtaroth, Astarte, we talked about that. And also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king. So it's not really his mother, it's his grandmother. But we see in the Bible a lot of times they speak of that way. So it's his grandmother, Maacah. He removed her from being queen. Can you imagine removing your grandma? I mean, that's tough. Grandma? He removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. I mean, that's what they said. They're making a covenant. Asa really meant what he said. This is his grandma. That's when the rubber meets the road. And so Asa cut down her idol, stamped it, and burnt it at the brook Kidron. So he was serious. Asa, he did good and right in the sight of the Lord. And one of those things was his grandma. I mean, what comes to my mind is where Christ said, you know, if you love your mother or father or brother more than me, you're not worthy. I mean, Christ talks about that. He came not to just bring peace, but a sword, even in a family. Following Jesus Christ is not always the popular thing to do. It doesn't always make you popular in your family. I don't think he's probably very popular taking grandma's idol and stamping it out. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. His heart was perfect all his days. There was still some stuff he didn't get to, but his heart was perfect. He even went after grandma's idol. So if he would have found these high places, I think he would have got rid of them, you know? And he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and things that he himself had dedicated, silver and gold and vessels. And there was no more war unto the 35th year of the reign of Asa. So the first 10 years there was rest. Then Ethiopia brought up 1,000,000 people. He prayed to God. God just destroyed them. So then they had 25 more years of rest. So they really had no war in the first 35 years. No one wanted to mess with them there. But then we come to chapter 16 for Asa. And you wish that they always could end good. But even Asa, I mean, he goes after his grandma. But yet, in the 36th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, the king of Israel, we'll learn about him 2 weeks from now, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. So remember, this goes back kind of in time, but when all the people were fleeing, going from the northern kingdom down to the southern kingdom, they're like, oh, we want to be where God's at. God was in the southern kingdom with King Asa. And so he gets down here and says, I'm going to stop people from immigrating down there. A closed border. So like Scott's son, he maybe would have worked there, right? So there we get that. He would let none go out or come in to Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord and of the king's house and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt in Damascus, saying, so there's this problem. The king of the north, Baasha, is coming down and stopping people from coming here. He's coming into Ramah. And so he says, we need to stop this. So what does he do to stop this? Does he pray to God, just like he did when 1,000,000 people were coming against his 580,000? I mean, this is just little king of the north, Baasha. Surely he could take them. But instead, he does this. He sends to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria. You got God, you got Ben-Hadad. Who are you going to go to? He goes to Ben-Hadad. So he sends it to Ben-Hadad and said, there's a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I've sent thee silver and gold. Go, break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me. So he had a treaty also with the north and the south. He sends him gold and says, break your treaty with them and come after him. So Ben-Hadad hearkened unto the king Asa, and he sent the captains of his armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Ijon and Dan and Abel-Maim and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it that he left off building of Ramah and let his work cease. It worked. He just sends a little silver and gold over to Ben-Hadad of Syria, some pagan guy. He attacks a few cities. Baasha stops Ramah. Borders are open. Now they even get these cities. Look at this. And it came to pass when Baasha heard it, he left Ramah. So Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof, wherewith Baasha was building, and he built there with Geba and Mizpah. So they even got two more cities built because of this. I mean, this looked like a great tactical move on the part of Asa. Little silver and gold works. But there's a man of God that says, no, this isn't how it's supposed to work. And that man was Hanani. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. So he laid it right out there. You relied on Ben-Hadad and not God. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Now that's a verse right there. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. That's a fact. I mean, that's not saying it's to the nation of Israel. That's a fact. God today, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. So we want to have hearts that are perfect towards God. If we have something between us and God, we need to repent of it. We need to confess it, and he's faithful and just to forgive us, right? We don't want to have stuff between us and God. We want to be perfect. We want to do everything we can to live the life God wants us to. I think of Job. Job was perfect and upright, a man that feared God and eschewed evil. Just like this kind of, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro. Noah was a perfect man. He feared God. But Job, he had these qualifications, and God knew it. Did that mean that Job's life was perfect? No, so this verse, and in Job, we see that it doesn't mean if we are perfect, if we seek God, that nothing will ever happen to us. Because with Job, God allowed it, and God allowed Job to have the worst day that anybody's probably ever had in the history of the world. Lost his donkeys, his camel, his sheep, and all 10 of his kids, in one day. And if that ever happened to, I mean, you would know it's God. It's no coincidence. If one thing happens, a catastrophe, that can happen. Two things becomes kind of crazy. All four things, you know that it's God, and Job knew it was God, and God allowed it, allowed Satan to do that. So this doesn't guarantee that by living for God, everything's perfect all the time. But God did at the end restore him, double, gave him 10 more sons and daughters, beautiful daughters, the Bible says. So herein, this man, Hanani, keeps saying, herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. So, because he did foolishly, doesn't even say that he sinned. He just did not trust, he put his, and we can do that easily, put our trust in man, put our trust in ourselves, and we have the wisdom, we can make this work. We pray to God, he does something amazing, and then we don't pray for something that's even less. We think we can handle this one. That's foolish. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. So for 35 years, things were peaceful. Now he's going to have wars. Then Asa was wroth with the seer. He was upset, and he put him in a prison house. For he was in a rage with him because of this thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. I mean, bad leads to worse here. A foolish decision leads to worse. Instead of immediately confessing that, repenting of that, he blames the messenger and does worse. puts him in prison. And so now we got this king, Asa, who's going to go down in history as a good king. This is, I think, the first time we see a man of God, a prophet, being put in prison. And you'll see men of God being killed later on. And they can look back to King Asa and say, look, he did this. And so it led Israel down a road wrong, Judah. So he oppressed some of the people. And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they are written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. I mean, this is the same mistake he made back in his 36th year. He did not seek the Lord, but went to Ben-Hadad. Now he did not seek the Lord, and he went to physicians. I think what this is saying is not that we can't go to physicians, but that we have to seek the Lord. Because he did not seek the Lord, right? Yes, exactly. Exactly. That's right. So, I mean, what we see here is not that he sought the Lord and physicians, and that was foolish and that was wrong, but that he did not seek the Lord, but put his trust in man. And even if we're going to physicians, our trust is in God. And we seek the Lord first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So we see the same mistake again that Asa made. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 41st year of his reign. So the 41st year. So he had this foot disease for 2 years. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed, which was filled with sweet odors and diverse kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made him a very great burning for him. And that's King Asa. 41 years, 36 years of peace. Last 5 years, he wasn't seeking the Lord. He had wars, he had a disease in his foot, and he died, not seeking the Lord. We do want to finish well. So a lot of times I look at it and I think that older saints have it easier. I mean, they've been through all this, but really the Bible shows that it's tougher somehow. Because you see them in their old age making these poor decisions, in their old age turning. So a lot we can learn from King Asa. I think there's a lot of individual things that maybe can speak to our lives and give us wisdom on how he handled it, what God said about it. It's all setting the table for when Isaiah will come into the scene. We see this history of Judah. This was the first really good king they'd had since David, King Asa. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for this book of the Bible that you give us. And that we can look back, we can see this history, we can learn from it. It's for our example. Lord, help us to be able to seek you first. In everything, big or small, to seek you first. Put our faith in you, not in men. Put in faith in you and not in ourselves. But to seek you first. Lord, I do pray for our older saints here that they can finish well, that they can keep seeking you and putting you first, putting their faith in you. For all of us, Lord, strengthen us and help us to finish out this week well as well. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.